Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The only thing better than pizza is a great deal on pizza. And with Marco's, you get double the pizza and something for everyone. A large one-topping pizza with that perfectly golden crust and a saucy, cheesy pizza bowl without the crust. Plus, you get pizza's tasty sidekick, fresh baked cheesy bread, all for just $21.99. Seriously, what could be better than that? To see more deals and order, visit Marco's.com. Marco's. Pizza lovers get it.
It's the Frozen Rope Report for Thursday, April the 15th, 2021, Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball. And we're certainly glad to have you with us as we get you set for the Braves and the Marlins. Game 4, the finale of this series, coming up today at 12:20 p.m. Eastern. Quick turnaround for both these teams as they'll jump on the charter. Braves are off to Chicago following today's game. Another matinee tomorrow afternoon at Wrigley Field. And, of course, we'll get you set for all that action coming up tomorrow right here on the Braves Radio Network podcast. Of course, we'll take you through what you may have missed from last night's action. Another extra inning loss for the Braves, and it overshadowed another monster performance from Ronald Acuña Jr. We'll talk about that. We'll also look ahead to Jackie Robinson Day, special day around Major League Baseball. Of course, all the teams will be wearing the number 42 here today. It's a special day to honor, obviously, Jackie's life and his legacy, and we'll see all the guys wearing the number 42 on their back. And believe me, this is a special day for those guys as well, as they honor one of the more influential players in Major League history. You could say probably the most influential player in big league history. So Jackie Robinson Day coming up today, and of course, we'll get you caught up on all the action from around Major League Baseball as well. Big night for the Chicago White Sox last night, and we'll talk about that, and we'll also dive into this date in baseball history as well. Of course, we're glad to have you with us as we do this each and every day throughout the course of the 2021 season. Wish we had better things to talk about here. The Braves are in a bit of a funk right now as they've lost four games in a row. Been a very streaky start to the season. They lose four in a row, then they win four in a row. Now they have dropped four games in a row, and they will look to avoid being swept out of their own building by the Miami Marlins. Braves are 4-8 on the season. Last night they fell to 0-3 in extra inning contests as they were defeated by the Marlins in a game that overshadows another big performance from Ronald Acuña Jr. I've seen a lot of you say it on Twitter. He's the most exciting player in baseball, and it's hard to argue with that right now. A two-run homer in the third, a two-run homer in the seventh. Oh, by the way, a double along the way. Another multi-home run game. Three more hits for Acuña, three more extra base hits, and he continues to find himself in some very elite company, and we'll talk about that in some of the post-game notes here in just a couple of moments. Charlie Morton was on the mound for the Braves last night looking to play the role of stopper, and it looked like early on he was going to be able to do that. However, ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw as the Marlins scored four in the third inning. Jazz Chisholm Jr., the big blow, with a three-run homer. That gave Miami an early 5-0 lead. However, the Braves did what they do time and time again. They chipped away. A two-run shot in the third from Acuña, 434 feet to dead center field. That cut the deficit to 5-2. Freddie Freeman added an RBI single in the fifth, his ninth RBI of the season. That cut the deficit to 5-3 in the fifth. Then in the seventh, still a 5-3 ballgame, Ronald Acuña Jr. does it again, a two-run shot to right field this time. That ties the ballgame at 5-5. Unfortunately, in extra innings, the Braves could not find a way to stop Jesus Aguilar. His RBI double proved to be the game winner as the Fish win this thing 6-5. Six runs, nine hits, no errors. Marlins left seven runners on. For the Braves, five runs, eight hits, no errors. They stranded five. John Curtis was your winner last night in relief from the Marlins' pen. He's 2-0 on the season. Tyler Matzek gives up an unearned run. Remember that placed runner at second base thing in extra innings? He takes the loss, falling to 0-1. Yimi Garcia, his second save of the year. Time of game, 3 hours, 26 minutes, in front of 12,480. Another good crowd on hand last night at Truist Park watching the Braves and the Fish. And, of course, it's a quick turnaround 12:20 Eastern is your first pitch here today as Ian Anderson takes on Trevor Rogers. We'll be on the air with the Ford Leadoff Show at 11:05 a.m. Eastern. Chris and I will get you set for all the action, and then Jim Powell and Joe Simpson have the call of the Braves and the Marlins. Need to find a way to get a W here today before they jump on the charter and head to Chicago to take on a Cubs team that's really scuffling. Road trip will then move on to New York, to the Bronx, as the Braves will take on the New York Yankees next Tuesday and Wednesday. That series bookended by days off as well. All right, as I mentioned, the Braves are 0-3 in extra innings this year. They have yet to score a run or even record a hit. Braves offense 0-for-8 with 3 strikeouts in the 10th inning this season. Again, that overshadows a big night for Ronald Acuna Jr. 2 homers, a double, his 11th, 12th, and 13th extra base hits on the season. 13 extra base hits through the Braves' first 12 games of the season. That's tied for the most in franchise history as he matched the Hall of Famer Hank Aaron, who also had 13 extra base hits in the first 12 games of the 1959 season. Ronald Acuna Jr., how about this? 47 total bases through 12 games. That's one off the Braves' record behind, of course, Hank Aaron in 1959. And of course, 13 extra base hits through 12 games. The franchise record for most extra base hits before the end of April is 22, and that is currently held by Ozzie Albies. He did that back in 2018. Acuna is, if you want to play the on-pace four game, he's on pace for 28 extra base hits this month. I've got a feeling that would be good enough for player of the month honors. As far as runs scored, 3 more runs scored out of the leadoff spot for Acuna last night. He's now scored at least 2 runs in a career best 4 consecutive ball games. That streak is tied for the second longest run in Braves franchise history. Trails a 5-game stretch by Andy High all the way back in 1926. You want to win a bar bet with your friends? See if they can pull Andy High out of the hat as far as the most runs, the most games with multiple runs scored consecutively. Andy High, 1926. And, of course, Acuna has scored 15 total runs in the first 12 games. The most in Atlanta history, tied for second most in franchise history. Only Bill Bruton, who scored 17 runs in Milwaukee's first 12 games of 1955, has more. And then, of course, as far as taking a look at the National League leaderboard, well, Acuna leads the National League with 6 home runs, also leads the NL in slugging, OPS, hits, doubles, extra base hits, total bases, and runs. He's only second in batting average. He's only hitting .447. Come on, Ronald. Need you to step up your game here. Second in average, .447. I kid, of course. 12 ribbies, tied for second most. Stolen bases, 3 of those. That's second most. And his OBP of .500 is also second best in the NL. Freddie Freeman, 2 more hits in the number 2 spot in the order last night. He was 2-for-5 with an RBI. He hit 3 balls with an exit velocity of 100 miles an hour. That's a good sign. He's been swinging the bat well, and I think he really likes it. And he really thrives in that second spot in the Braves batting order. So expect that to not change anytime soon. Of course, the big news yesterday, Max Fried, Christian Pache, they're both on the IL. Braves are hoping that Fried will have a relatively short stint, and with a couple of days off next week, Monday and Thursday, the Braves are hoping they can get through and have Fried miss just one start. We'll keep our fingers crossed that that indeed is the case and that they can figure out what the heck is wrong with Max Fried. It's been hard to figure out. He's just hasn't been the same guy these last 11 starts, a 5.5 ERA going back to the middle of last year. So hopefully they can figure out if it's mechanical, if there's something he's doing to tip his pitches. I don't know what that is. But of course, they'll hope to get him right when he comes off the IL. A little bit later on in our show, we're going to hear from Brian Snitker. We're going to hear from Charlie Morton and Ronald Acuna Jr. with the assistant of Franco Garcia. But before we do, of course, a big day around Major League Baseball today. It is Jackie Robinson Day 2021. Players, managers, coaches, umpires, and all on-field personnel will once again be wearing the iconic number 42. Teams that don't play today will play, they'll wear it tomorrow. The number 42 logo will appear on uniform sleeves, while the teams will again be wearing all number 42 on the back. There's all kinds of different initiatives that Major League Baseball is celebrating, so you can check that out. MLB Network will debut a feature with its studio programming, including the late Chadwick Boseman discussing what it meant for him to portray Jackie Robinson in the great movie movie 42. Scholarships around, there's all kinds of different things that you can can check out at MLB.com. Players Alliance batting practice tee. All the players will wear a special t-shirt designed by the Players Alliance, which will be worn prior to games. Those t-shirts will not be sold in retail, only will be worn by the players. And again, for teams that aren't playing today, they'll wear 42 coming up tomorrow. I thought this was really interesting. The teams, the top 20 Jackie Robinson Day moments. Of course, they went through all of the big moments that have happened on Jackie Robinson Day. Of course, you have John Smoltz throwing a four-hit shutout. That was back on Jackie Robinson Day of 2006. Shut down the Padres at Turner Field. He needed 103 pitches to complete the shutout en route to another terrific season that saw him post a 3.49 ERA over 35 starts for the Braves in 2006. And then, of course, you have that moment where Rachel Robinson was taking part in a pregame ceremony at Shea Stadium back in 2006. Rachel Robinson, if you've never heard her speak, it's terrific. And from what I understand, Chris Domino on his Hardball podcast will be featuring an interview with Rachel Robinson. Check that out. You can visit it on thepodcastpark.com. You can also go check it out at Domino's Twitter page. Hardball, great stuff. And again, great stories from the widow of the late Jackie Robinson. On this date in 2007, players began wearing the number 42. It was the 60th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier in baseball. And it started with Hall of Famer Ken Griffey Jr. asking Rachel Robinson for permission to wear that number on April the 15th. Of course, Bud Selig then encouraged other players to do so, and that is how we are now with everybody wearing the number 42 around Major League Baseball. On this date in 2007, two of the greatest players of all time, our very own Hank Aaron and Frank Robinson, threw out ceremonial first pitches at Dodger Stadium prior to the Dodgers and Padres game. That was on Jackie Robinson Day of 2007. That was a terrific moment. Ken Griffey Jr. hit his 595th career home run on this date in 2008. You had the game that Ian Kinsler went 6-for-6 with the cycle on this date in 2009. Matt Kemp homered in 2012 while the Dodgers turned a triple play. Big game for Los Angeles in that one. And then, of course, the biggest moment of all on this date in 2017, the Jackie Robinson statue was unveiled at Dodger Stadium on the 70th anniversary of when Jackie took the field for the Dodgers for the very first time and broke the color barrier. It is a terrific statue. If you're at Dodger Stadium, make sure you go ahead and check it out. And here is a very interesting piece of Jackie Robinson history and trivia. You want to win a bar bet with your friends? Look, Domino's rubbing off on me. He does this all the time when we do shows together. If you want to win a bar bet with your friends, ask them where Jackie Robinson was specifically when he got the call that he was being signed by the Brooklyn Dodgers. I'm going to give you the answer to that on the other side. The answer might surprise you. Where was Jackie Robinson when he got the famous call that he was going to be called up and assigned to me and called up by the Dodgers? We're going to give you that answer on the other side. Of course, we'll also take you inside the clubhouse. You'll hear from Brian Snitker, Charlie Morton, and Ronald Acuna Jr. And, of course, we'll look at this date in baseball history as well. Lots more to get to, and we're glad to have you with us here on the Frozen Rope Report.
Follow the Podcast Park on social media for live updates as new episodes hit and behind-the-scenes looks at all our shows. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Podcast Park.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
It's a Thursday morning, and we're happy to have you with us on the Frozen Rope Report. As always, Kevin McAlpin here with you, and we're glad to have our friends at DBAT Marietta along for the ride as well. Folks, don't forget, travel ball season is in full bloom. Of course, you've got the summer season, summer travel balls right around the corner. You've got bar league softballs picking up. So look, if you're looking for some lessons, some instruction for your kids, or maybe even for yourself, if you want to get that swing in shape for your bar league softball team, go check out our friends at DBAT Marietta. Cage Reynolds available. They've got private lessons. My son Max takes private lessons with Coach Charles. He loves them. But all the guys over there, all the instructors, they do a terrific job. So whether your child is young or old, wants to get involved in baseball, cannot recommend our friends at DBAT Marietta more. You can check out all their info at dbatmarietta.com. They've got memberships, lessons, Cage Reynolds, birthday parties, you name it. They've got it covered for you, and they'll take very good care of you. And of course, tell them you heard about them on the Frozen Rope Report with K-Mac. And I promise you, they will take even better care of you. Look, they're going to take care of you no matter what. But if you go over there and tell them that we sent you, they're going to roll out the red carpet for you and take very, very good care of you. So make sure you tell them we sent you over, and we appreciate having them on for the ride here for the 2021 season. All right, I gave you that trivia question before the break. Where did Jackie Robinson get the call that he was going to be making some big history? Well, he got the call when he was sitting in a room inside a building in New York City. That building in New York City just so happened to be the McAlpin Hotel. It was located in Herald Square, if you've ever been to New York City, basically the corner of Broadway and 34th, a couple of blocks away from Madison Square Garden, as a matter of fact. And it was in that building, the McAlpin Hotel, in 1947, that Jackie Robinson, who lived on the 11th floor, got a phone call from the Brooklyn Dodgers that he was going to be signed and he was going to change the course of history in Major League Baseball. So there you go. On this, on those hallowed ground of the McAlpin Hotel. Building is still there, as a matter of fact. I believe they've turned it into apartments now. And matter of fact, a few years back, I was at our old favorite watering hole in New York, Foley's, the old baseball bar that, unfortunately, due to the pandemic, is no longer in business, is right across the street from the McAlpin Hotel. Matter of fact, you can still see it painted on the side of the building, Hotel McAlpin there. And I met a Braves fan, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, and I apologize if you're listening to this show. I think his name was George. George, I think that was who it was. He lives in that building, and he sees the plaque on the wall right outside that 11th floor unit that Jackie used to live in. So there you go. There's your history that the Hotel McAlpin in Herald Square on 34th Street, right around the corner from the Empire State Building, if you're trying to get your lay of the land, right across the street from the Empire State Building. There, right in Midtown Manhattan, is where history was made. So there you go. Win a bar bet with your friends. See how many people know that one for you as you move forward. All right, it's time now to take you inside the Braves clubhouse from last night. Let's hear from the manager, Brian Snitker, first, get his thoughts on Charlie Morton, of course, Ronald Acuna, and much, much more. Here's the Braves skipper following last night's 6-5 loss in 10 innings.
That after this kind of loss, you think the team just can kind of remember that you're only a couple weeks into the season, another 4-game losing streak. It's, you just got to go with the ups and downs of the season.
Yeah. I mean, we're not playing good right now. We're hurting ourselves. It's just nothing's kind of flowing right now. And like I say, when you're doing that, you can't make mistakes, and we are. And it is, it's, you know, we're just trying to, I guess, you know, find our legs or whatever. We're better than what we've shown recently. I know that. And, but you got, you know what, and that happens, and you got to grind through it and keep playing and just, you got to handle it. You know, you handle the bad spots, and it's been a rough go, and we had a good, you know, starting out, and then we had a nice little run, and now, you know, so it's that kind of stuff you have to deal with in this business. I mean, and especially a long season, it is, and it's a game in April. You know, you want to win every one of them, but it's a game in April, and we'll continue to address issues and get better.
We sit here and marvel at Ronald every night, but I think the more you watch, the more you realize you need a deep lineup and much more than just one guy
No, yeah, no, he can't do it all. I mean, we have guys capable of being that deep lineup. That's the thing. This lineup is going to get going because it can be a deep lineup. It's not right now, but, you know, it will be. It will be. And, you know, but you just can't, like, wait for Ronald to hit a homer every at bat because it's not going to happen. He's a great player, but he's going to, you know, make it out every now and then. So you just got to deal with it. You know, we'll come out tomorrow and you know, it's just one of those things. You got to handle it. You know, you got to handle the adversity in this, because if you don't, it'll drive you nuts.
Now, what'd you think about Charlie early on when he gets behind that final?
No, early on, he's great. I mean, it was really good. I mean, I don't know. It was, you know, it seems like even Charlie, he has an inning every now and then, you know. But, God, he started out the game and ball's jumping out of his hand. The break ball's good. It's still, you know, it was there for us to win. You know, so he's not going to be perfect either.
When you come back from a 5-0 deficit like that, is it starting to feel like last year? You know, you came back so many times last
year. Yeah, no. I mean, it is. These guys never quit. They keep playing. They keep plugging. They're never out of a game. You know, it's like I say, even when we're down early, we come back and we play that same game every day. We're in games, and we give ourselves a chance to win. And, you know, as long as you can do that, eventually we'll start winning these games. There's no doubt in my mind. So it's just you know, it's a blip on the radar, and we'll deal with it. And who knows? I mean, you know, because this club's capable of reeling off something really, really good too.
Gabe, did you have a question?
Yeah. So now, how good was it to see Ender have the game that he had, getting on a few times and that throw he made in center?
That was good. Yeah, it was good because he's going to have to play a little bit. And, you know, it was a really nice play, and, you know, big hit and couple of them. And so it's good. Yeah.
You heard him asked about Ender and Ciarte. Yeah, he had a decent game, but also made a couple of base running blunders in the fifth inning, getting doubled off on Morton's popped up bunt. That can't happen. And then I don't know what he was thinking on that double play ball in the ninth inning where he slapped it back to the mound. I have no idea what the thought process was on that one. I'd rather him just swing literally as hard as he can, and maybe he puts a ball in the gap and the Braves walk it off. Unfortunately, that was not to be. Again, there was the Brave skipper. All right, from the manager to last night's starter, Charlie Morton. He worked six innings, gave up 5 runs on 7 hits, walked 2, and struck out 9. And here's Morton following last night's performance to talk about what worked and maybe what didn't work for him against the Marlins.
Charlie Snitt was talking, you know, just not playing well as a team right now, but it's early. How easy is it for players to understand that how early this really is, and it's not time to panic?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, it's not time to panic. You know, even when we're down, like the guys showed tonight, there's fight there. You know, there's a ton of talent, and it's just, I feel like a lot of the games are well within our reach. So I think that's probably where a lot of the frustration comes. I don't think it's necessarily just losing, although losing is, you know, it's the worst, like, especially when you're feeling like you're in a rut. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really see a lot of panic, to be honest with you. I don't see that. I just, you know, it's like the guys did a heck of a job tonight, battling back, and, you know, just came up short.
Charlie, how do you evaluate where you are right now? I mean, you've done this long enough to know where you want to be. What were you fighting out there tonight, and kind of just the next steps for yourself?
Yeah. It was kind of a weird outing because it seemed like like I go on a streak of three or four hitters where everything was working. And then I was getting a ton of swing and miss and striking people out. And then, you know, just brutal walks, like four pitch walks, or, you know, falling behind guys and just missing really, really bad. I don't know. It was just such a weird outing. I do feel like that was probably some of the best stuff that I've had this year. But, you know, it was like in the moments where, you know, I needed to get a quick out or I needed to get a ground ball, I just didn't, you know. And I mean, that I fall behind Chisholm and you know, I tried to get too cute there with a cutter away and I just brought it back right over the middle of the plate. You know, just bad walks, some bad sequences that I don't know. Looking back, obviously it's like, I could have done a few things differently. But no, I mean, looking forward, I feel like, my stuff was there. I have a pretty good idea of what's working and I feel good about that. Like I feel really good about my curveball. I feel really good about my two fastballs and, you know, and the other two pitches are there. I just, you know, like I've thrown one changeup this year. But I feel like my stuff is there. And that for me, that's the biggest thing. Like I feel good physically. So right now it's just kind of piecing it together, you know, just making sure that I get I'm executing and I'm doing a good job, you know, sequencing and setting up some pitches, but ultimately just staying aggressive in the zone, just throwing strikes. So I got away from that a little bit tonight. And I think that's kind of, you know, the issue.
You're muted, Dave.
Charlie, you played with some great players, obviously in Houston and Tampa Bay. What Acuña has done, especially in the last week and a half, have you been around a guy that's been quite that hot before?
A Rosarena last year.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you were paying attention, it's like historic.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, Kutch there in Pittsburgh, I've had a chance to watch guys that, I've had the pleasure of watching two MVP seasons. I've seen some of the more talented guys in the game. I feel like what he's doing. I mean, that pitch that he hit out tonight. I saw that with the Rosarena last year and it's just mind blowing. So, I'm also impressed with how he plays the game. You know, he dug out that that routine ground ball to Didi, you know, and just the throw that he made in the first inning of the start that I made in Philly with Harper's double.
Right.
You know, just the tools. So, yeah, I think the sky's the limit. And, needless to say, but – you know, just hope he stays healthy. And I think, you know, I mean, what he's doing right now is ridiculous.
Hey, and one other thing, what would you tell Ian Anderson if you talked to him before tomorrow's start? I mean, these young, him and Fried have both kind of struggled a little bit this year where they didn't struggle at all last year. Is there anything you could tell him if he asked you, you know, something that maybe he's doing?
It's a fragile subject, you know, if somebody, and that's not to say that he's not throwing the ball well or anybody's not throwing the ball well, but you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful with what you have to say to people when they feel like they're struggling or, you know, like what would normally work might not be working because it might not be what you have to say might not be right. Mm-hmm. Even your own perception of what you think is wrong with yourself might not be right. So you know, that's a question like that would really take some time to really dive into what I actually thought was going on.
Right.
You know, but ultimately, you kind of just have to roll with the punches. And I know it's not a, that might not be the satisfactory answer, but you know, sometimes you just gotta keep going and, you know, trust the guys around you, trust what you're seeing, trust the numbers and any input, but you know, ultimately it's just, you just gotta keep going. So, you know, I don't think any of our guys are at that point. I just don't, it's just so early, but, that would be some of my thought process.
I thought Charlie's curveball was really good. His fastball looked sharp. Five of his six innings last night were really, really good. Unfortunately, he did give up four runs in that third inning. Braves will now turn to Ian Anderson to try to play the role of stopper here today to put an end to this four-game losing streak. Before we talk about Anderson, let's hear from Ronald Acuña Jr. and, of course, team translator Franco Garcia. Two homers for Acuña, four more RBIs. He's just been, I mean, hotter than hot. I don't even know what that is. He's playing on rookie level while everyone else is on expert on the video game. I don't know what is going on. He is just on another level right now. And let's hear from the Braves slugging right fielder on another monster game for him at the plate last night.
Ronald, you always talk about the most important thing is winning, and that's the only thing that matters. What's the feeling when you go through this kind of stretch, this great stretch where you're being so productive and the team isn't winning as frequently as you would like?
Bueno, que siempre le cuentas que lo más importante para ti es que el equipo gane. Y entonces cuéntanos la dificultad que es estar en estos juegos donde estás produciendo y teniendo mucho éxito, pero el equipo no está ganando.
Bueno, seguir tratando. Yo creo que eso es la parte del juego. Un equipo tiene que ganar, el otro equipo tiene que perder, pero a seguir tratando día a día, una temporada larga. Apenas estamos empezando y tratar de salir a ganar todos los días como siempre.
I think you just have to keep trying. I mean, you know, that's baseball. One team's got to win, one team's got to lose. But I think, like I said, you just got to keep trying. It's a long season. We're just getting started. So you got to keep coming out with the same effort and just keep bringing it every day.
How good does he feel at the plate right now? Has he ever had a stretch where he's felt this good and on everything, it seems like, on every pitch?
Cuéntanos un poco sobre lo bueno que te sientes ahí en tus turnos de bateo y que parece que básicamente puedes hacer lo que te da la gana cuando estás bateando.
Bueno, me siento bien, gracias a Dios. Me siento saludable, que es lo más importante. Salí a divertirme, salí a jugar la pelota duro como yo lo hacía.
I feel good, and you know, I think for me the most important thing is I feel healthy, so I think nothing's really changed. You know, I'm just going out, trying to play hard and have fun.
It seemed like he gained some speed in the offseason, maybe lost a little weight without losing any strength. Is that accurate with his workouts he did?
Bueno, que para él le parece que te has puesto más rápido por la temporada libre y no sé si sabe si has perdido un poquito de peso sin perder fuerza o si hay algo en particular que tú crees que te ha ayudado en eso.
Bueno, no, yo siempre en los insos siempre trato de mantener mi velocidad, siempre trato de entrenar lo más que pueda mi velocidad. Y yo creo que eso es lo que me mantiene ahí en el terreno, mantenerme saludable, mantener mi velocidad, que es una de las partes fundamentales que yo tengo.
I mean, for me, I think it's just during the offseason, I always try to train and maintain my velocity. So it's part of the regimen that I go through during the offseason. And I think for me, that's kind of helped me kept me maintain my health, obviously stay healthy and be able to kind of play every day and all that. So.
Hey, I'm jumping in here late, so I'm sorry if Ronnie's answered this, but using the entire field tonight, center, right, what's the mindset and the approach at the plate right now for you, Ronald?
Cuéntanos un poquito tu mentalidad durante tus turnos de bateo, porque, o sea, el éxito que has tenido ha sido a center field y entonces a right field también, así que cuéntanos de tu mentalidad durante tus turnos de bateo.
Bueno, mi mentalidad siempre que voy a batear es ver la pelota y dale, más nada.
My mentality is always the same thing. See the ball, hit the ball. Nothing different.
Appreciate Franco Garcia for the translation there last night with Ronald Acuna Jr. Of course, we also appreciate Brian Snitker and Charlie Morton for their time as well. Quick turnaround for the boys. I hope you got your sleep in quick last night because it's a 12:20 first pitch here today. Braves and Marlins. Ian Anderson on the mound for Atlanta. Coming off a no decision against the Phillies on Saturday in a contest that saw him give up 4 earned on 5 hits and 5 and a third. Walked 1 and struck out 6. Looking for him to really, you know, go deep into a ball game here today, preserve the bullpen, because you know you can always never have enough relievers when you play a weekend series at Wrigley Field. And again, a quick turnaround tomorrow with another matinee game in the friendly confines. Tomorrow, he'll be taking on the 23-year-old lefty Trevor Rogers. Rogers is 1-1 with a 1.80 ERA. Coming off an outing on Saturday that saw him out-duel Jacob deGrom, he picked up the win. He tossed 6 scoreless innings, gave up 3 hits, walked 2, and struck out 10. Domino and I will be on the air with the Ford Leadoff Show at 11:05 a.m. Eastern. Your first pitch with Jim and Joe on the call from Truist Park is at 12:20 p.m. Eastern. And then, of course, stick around for the Hyundai postgame show immediately following the final out as well, right here on The Fan, the Braves Radio Network. And hey, have you downloaded the 680 The Fan app yet? No, not yet. Well, what are you waiting on? Make sure you go download the 680 The Fan app and take the Braves with you wherever you might be around the world here this season. Well, that's going to do it for a Thursday morning edition of the Frozen Rope Report. As always, I appreciate all of you for tuning in. For all of our crew here at the Braves Radio Network, we thank you very much, and we'll look forward to talking to you for the Ford Leadoff Show in just a couple of hours.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.